Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Black Motion is a South African Afro House duo formed in 2010. The group is composed of Tabo Mabogwane and Kabelo Koma. Their debut album, Talking to the Drums, was released in 2011. It earned their first nominations for Best Dance Album, Best Group Album, Best Newcomer at the 2011 Metro FM Music Awards. Aquarian Drums was released in 2012. Their third studio album, Fortune Teller, was released in 2014, was certified gold in South Africa, and at the 21st ceremony of the South Africa Music Awards, won Best Dance Album. Their fourth studio album, Ya Badimo, was released in 2016. The album won Best Dance Album at the 23rd ceremony of the South Africa Music Awards, and was certified platinum by the Recording Industry of South Africa. Their fifth studio album, Moya Wa Tayola, was released in 2018. It was nominated for Album of the Year and won Duo or Group of the Year Best Dance Album at the 25th South African Music Awards. The Healers, The Last Chapter was released in 2020. The album won Best Dance Album at the 27th South African Music Awards. In 2023, they released their seventh studio album, Rebirth of the Drum. And in 2024, they released their eighth studio album, The Cradle of Art. Black Motion is known for their dynamic fusion of traditional African rhythms and futuristic soundscapes. Celebrated globally for their explosive live performances and deeply rooted cultural identity, Black Motion represents the spirit of movement, rhythm, and authenticity. Up next on Celeb Savant, live in studio at Solo Gold Podcasts in Randburg, Johannesburg, South Africa, is Tabo Mabogwane and Kabelo Koma from Black Motion. Kabelo and Tabo from Black Motion. Guys, thank you for joining us in the interviewee seat. How you guys doing?
We're good.
We're good, man. Thanks, man. Feeling good. Thanks. Great to be here.
Tabo, the name Black Motion, how, where, what? Tell us.
Yo, the name Black Motion came in 2010 when we went Soshanguve. Yeah, man, it was just about the things that were happening on stage, and we didn't want that cheesy name that people could just say, the what brothers or the something, not in a bad way, but like we wanted something to be very deep, like a Black Motion for like the black, that makes you go into the trance, that it's the trance and the motion, obviously, on the decks and, on the dance floor. So yeah, man, Black Motion was exactly that.
Kabelo, heading to you now. At what age, whether as a child or teenager, did you think, okay, I want to be in this creative world? How did that journey progress? How did you meet the team from Black Motion? And tell us your story.
Well, started on radio, of course. You listen to some music, your favorite radio station, and you just happen to hear a DJ mix two songs coming on top of each other. And back then, it was not so usual, you know, come from a time where you use tape decks and other stuff, and it wasn't just synchronizing the beats, you know, that was just something totally brand new. So that's when I just fell in love with the art of mixing two songs together. And, you know, as time went by, it changed from a hobby into life, and here we are today with Black Motion.
How did the hobby and the meeting and the amalgamation of the joining happen?
Well, you know, as you play, you start to grow over it. You just want to now create music, which is the next level of your growth as a DJ. When you DJ so much, you mix so many songs, you get to know what your song would want to sound like. And I think, 2005, I started fiddling with production gear and software. Well, the first couple of tunes were not so good. But, you know, as time went, polished it out, found my sound, fortunately, at around 2011. I think that's where the hits started coming out. You know, that's when it was just easy to express myself through the music. So,
couple of hits in the house music scene, deep house music scene, you know, Itla Gauteng, Clubbing in Mars, Clubbing in the Amazon, such titles. So yeah, over the time, it's just been growth. And, you know, at the other end also, I'm coming from a fan side of things with Black Motion. I've been a fan of Black Motion ever since the inception. And, you know, having to be part of it in another journey of my life is just so great.
And you've been part of it 3 years?
So far. Okay. Three to four, right?
4 years, yeah.
Four years.
Okay.
Just 4 years.
Heading over to you, Tabo, your journey, and have you been with Black Motion since inception? Let's start at the very beginning.
Yeah, 2010, and Soshanguve, and yeah, we just linked up, and I was producing on my own, and some guy came through and he was like, yo, you need to meet up with these guys. They're also in production. And yeah, already my name was like, known for production from my hood, from my section where I came from. And I would also sell beats to DJs and, just to make a living at that time. And yeah, when we linked up with the guys, it was like, I think 10 of us, when we linked up, and it was called Black Boys, back then. And when we saw that we had different visions and different like sides of music that we want to make, we broke into two out of the 10. And yeah, man, from there on, we just made music. And yeah, till today, here we are. And the brand Black Motion is still standing. And through production of what I came in as with, like, my mind with production, and still today we have that signature. And yeah, man, Black Motion is Black Motion, and is a movement from 2010 till now, and growing more.
Kabelo, so when you guys collaborate or create music, obviously you do it together, correct? Yeah.
Yes.
So from your perspective, how do you create a song?
Well, you start with the basics, your kick. And from then, it's all about the feeling, the atmosphere of the room, the mood you guys are in plays a huge role. The time of day that you're going in, are you fresh
the mood
in the morning, or are you tired from a gig coming back with crazy ideas? Or is it just during the day and you just have nothing to do and just get to the studio and try and create something? But usually it starts with the kick and then the shaker. And then you have your rhythm, and you know, you can introduce anything, the bass line, keys, all these percussions that we use, the signature percussions, that's where they come in.
Tabo, do you guys ever collaborate with others outside of you two?
Yeah, a whole lot. There's a whole lot of collabs that we have and that are still coming. And yes, like there's a whole lot of people that we've collaborated with in the past months. For our upcoming album. And it's just crazy. We have a lot of people that we wish to work with. We had a lot of people that we worked with in the past. And, we have again a lot of people that I knew with our production, and we knew with the vocals as well. So it's going to be a fun filled one with a whole lot of people that a lot of people didn't expect on the project. So yeah, man, there's a lot of people that we work with. There's something in the pipeline with Diplo, and yeah, man, there's so there's quite a lot coming, and that's a project that we will speak about when the times are right.
Yes, we'll get that on when it's ready. Kabelo, how do you guys choose who you want to collaborate with? Is it a situation you say, okay, this is our wish list, this is who we want to, we reach out to them? Or is it also a situation of record labels pairing you up with individuals?
You know, it's a two-way street, really. We do get requests from various talents when wishing to collaborate. And we also have sometimes where we sit down and, you know, try and plan our sound wave, where we want to take the next sound to. And it's usually based around the people we use for vocals, so that they can be the one to convey the message proper. Because we got the beats, we've got the sound, we've got the signature movement, and they just come in with the extra cheese and toppings.
Yeah. Yeah. So also we have like the that collabo with 340, which is exactly what like happened in that case. I mean, it's 340 mil. They came in with being 340 mil with their spices and everything. And then we came in with our spices and created like nice two remixes like that bring like two different worlds into one big sound. Yeah.
An explosion of toppings.
Yeah.
Explosion of toppings.
Pineapple, cheese, onion, you name it.
Yeah. All in one, a blender.
I know it's very secretive in your guys' world. You reference different collaborations, things that are coming out. What can you tell us?
Got a whole lot of explosions going on that side, man. We've got like a remix of 1083 Problem Child songs from back in the day, redone, retouched, and you know, it's sounding nice. Those are one of the weapons in the albums, in the album. So yeah, man, there's a lot of collaborations as well. There's Uno Butli, there's Philharmonica. Yeah, the list is long. The list is long. Yeah, and Spice Drums is also there.
Yeah. Living SA.
Yeah, that's a big one coming as well. We must watch out for Living SA. Yeah,
definitely.
So, Cabello.
As well.
Yeah, Bukeka. Yeah.
Okay, so don't give all of the. Give some for surprise. Okay.
Just there's a whole lot of tracks in there. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. Cabello, how do you guys decide if it's going to be a new creation or if you're going to remix an older song?
Remember how I explained that it depends which time of day it is, how fresh your mind is?
Yes.
Sometimes we come back from somewhere and we've been playing a set and we just got inspired by a certain melody somewhere, maybe between the car and the studio. We can get to do something new. But every once in a while, you know, as you scribble through your project, you meet that golden oldie, something that will never, ever, ever disappear. And then you just retouch it here and there, add some toppings again. You know? Just take it out there.
So, but when you guys perform and do gigs and do sets, how much preparation do you do for that? Also, how much of the set is your original stuff compared to remixes?
With sets, man, it's unplanned and because you just can't have a playlist from home, and when you get there, it's not what you expect. Now, we try by all means to avoid that. So we want to be in the vibe of the people, like where they are. And in terms of the feeling of the music, we'll just get there and feel and see everything, how it goes. And with the sound that is already in Problem Child's heads, I mean, in here, like he can just do anything and just choose out anything to fit the mood at that particular time. So the preparation is 5 steps away from the stage. When we're on the ground and we have to go on stage, that's the preparation. That's what we see. And we definitely make it work according to how we feel and how the crowd is. So it's just a moment thing. It's just something that goes into the moment and you feel it and you don't have to practice it, but it has to be natural and it has to come with the feeling of the people right there. Otherwise, you're playing for yourself. You're not playing for the people to feel what you feel as well. So we need to project it on the people and our energy as well to match everything that's going on. But obviously, depending on the mood of the party. Yeah.
Cabello, Tabo's referenced the feeling. Now, naturally, of these gigs, it's about feeling the energy of those people. Yes. Has that something that's come naturally to you quickly or something that's been learnt over time?
With the pedigree to the name, I think it's just something that is now my second nature to read the room. As soon as you hit, not even the stage, as soon as you hit the entrance, you have to look at how the place is. Are people walking fast? Where are they going? How's the sound system? How's the bass? How's the energy?
How's the energy?
When the bass drops, do you hear the crowd screaming or is it just, it's a nice song, moving on? You have to be able to read the crowd. You have to be able to read the room. So
It's something that I've been doing for years and years and years and years and years. So it comes easy to me.
Thabo, what's the difference for you guys and your perspective in sort of headlining your own sort of set compared to being on a roster, sort of a festival type?
Oh, man, like there's a lot that goes into that. And this is why we also have like our series of events, which is called the Friends of Black Motion, which is where like we say, come home and listen to what we have to offer as Black Motion and be intimate with what you need to know, what's new with Black Motion. And obviously when we go to events, outside events, like big events, again, we have to cater for the people. You can't exactly want to play exclusive when the mood is high and you want to play music that people would actually need to sit and listen to grow on them. So yeah, man, that's actually a balance that we do when we host our events and when we attend other events. So it's all in a matter of showcasing Black Motion when we're with our people. And obviously, yeah, there's some events where we would obviously play exclusives, which are bangers and like they are nice songs and people react nice to them. But like you need that honest opinion, that focus on the songs and not the focus on the on the feeling of the event or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, you need to let people understand the songs when we present them. Also the way we present them when it's our event, like Friends of Black Motion, it's solid and we want you to understand and get it and really know why we play the song and how we're playing it. It must make sense to you.
How often do you have those events?
It just depends. Every four months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It just depends on how busy we are and the season, obviously. Okay. So yeah, we just had one in September. It was on the 23rd. And yeah, I think December might be another one. So yeah, we're just looking at the
dates.
Yeah.
In South Africa, we don't have access, obviously, because there's not many stores for us to do this.
Mm-mm.
I love me a CD. I still budget for my CDs every month. For me, it's an energy exchange to say thank you to you guys for all the hard work. I love listening to the album as a whole, song one to whatever number, the booklet, the artwork, the thank yous. I'm not sure if you are aware, massive uptick of physical around the world. In UK, USA, Europe, 2 years ago in the UK, 5.9 million vinyls sold, the biggest since 1990.
1990?
The biggest since then, yes. Last year in the UK, also, there's a basket of products that they gauge exchanges on. There needs to be a high exchange daily for a product to be in the basket.
Mm.
And because of the upsurge of CDs again, CDs have now been put in the back into the basket.
Mm.
And the research is showing it's the teenagers, it's the younger kids diving into this world, not necessarily the older nostalgic people. Then we have streaming platforms that people consume music on. Kabela, what is your observation of the landscape at the moment?
Yeah.
Wow. That's just
boring. I wish I knew that before I came in here so that I can say exactly that. Because,
yo,
I mean, being a vinyl person myself, it feels like, you know, I need to.
Yeah, I'm buying vinyl almost every day. Yeah.
I need to know this information.
Yeah.
You know, it's mind blowing how things have come full circle, because there were records back in the day.
Mm.
And the reason why they are records is because they had to record a performance and take it home to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't do that without the record. You had to press it sometimes while the show is still on live. No space for mistakes, you know, no retakes, you know, and that is something else. And to be able to see new music come out on that media again, it's just a great feeling.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
And it is really a great feeling.
Yeah. You're hoping to, you know, somewhere down the line, drop something for you.
Yes, physically. Vinyl. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
Speaking of that, we've been working on some side remixes for one of our songs from their previous album called Cradle of Art.
Mm.
It features Doshi. And the title of the song is Okoko. So the original version is it's our favorite song, but then the vocal delivery deserves many touches, you know. And I just called a couple of guys and asked them to do a remix. And so far we have 3 remixes that came back.
We have vinyl worth.
From 3 different, from 3 different remixes. Mm. And those cuts are actually vinyl worthy.
They're definitely vinyl worthy.
And I'm just excited just thinking about it.
Because, you know, yeah,
it's just, excited. Yeah.
After hearing this, now.
So, Kabelo referenced favorite song. When you guys are creating, is it a situation of, okay, this is a new piece of work? This is its own entity of itself? Or do you sometimes get into that, and I'm going to say ego, of comparing, oh, this is not good as that one, and need to be better?
Mm. Yeah, it always happens, man. I mean, if that doesn't happen, it means there wouldn't be growth, and you're just relaxing and sitting and doing nothing. But like your competition should be your previous work. And if you feel you've done something and in your heart, you know, it's not as big as the last one, it's probably that. It's probably true. Cause when you know you made something that's worth your time, it will definitely make you like feel good. And when you just made it because whatever you needed to, it's just going to be
always have that vibe.
Yeah, it's just going to be always that thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, it just goes with again the feeling and the confidence of when you're creating, you want to create something better than the last one.
You both have referenced feeling. I'm not sure if you are aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So this is the way people process information. As part of NLP, there's a subsection of processing skills where each of us have a dominant, secondary, and tertiary. Something kicks into each of us at a young age, which allows this to happen. Now, when I say dominant, means you'll be in it most of the day. Secondary, maybe a couple of hours. Tertiary, maybe 20 minutes, if at all. Now, there are 3 of them. You have visual people. Now, visual people see pictures when they're processing information. So a visual person, what I'm talking now, will be creating a picture in their mind. Auditory people, it's about the words, the sentence, the paragraph. So they understand the word, understand the sentence, understand the paragraph. Kinesthetic. So that, I'll do that word again, a kinesthetic. Mm. So those people process information on body language, emotion, feeling, energy, all those type of elements.
Yeah. Mm.
Kabelo, you first focusing specifically on music, was made different aspects of your life. When you are creating or listening to a song, more listening to a finished song, is it definitely about the feeling, or is it about the what you see, the visuals, or is it about the lyrics?
It's about the feeling.
Feeling.
Mm. it has to. If it really, really, really hits,
yes, it's about the goosebumps.
You have to see the goosebumps. Medicine science, they come out. Yeah, that's how you know that one really, really touched
you. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Table, you said the same.
Yeah, it's the same, man. Yeah, it's just that feeling. There's this feeling that I don't think even scientists can explain.
It's quite cool to see the instruments in my head, like, you know.
Yes, it's actually almost everything in one. Like, he was explaining. You see, it starts with the feeling.
Yes.
And then you paint the picture.
So then that would be secondary visual.
Yes. And then it becomes physical when there's goosebumps now.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
And then lyrics more on the last.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, the message in the song.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting you say about the message, because I speak to a lot of people who enjoy music. They like songs. They don't necessarily know who their favorite song is sung by. I'm like, I didn't know that person sang that, etc. And I often say to them, do you know what the message is? Do you know what the words, the song are, what they're saying? No, not really. And then I tell them, like, for example, Chandelier by Sia. She was an alcoholic, and that whole song is about being sober. One, two, three, drink. One, two, three, drink. And they're like, I didn't realize that song. That song by Crystal Waters, la-da-dee, la-da-da, la-da-dee. That's about a homeless person.
And yes.
I just thought it was a party song. So it's so interesting how so many people don't listen to the words.
Yeah.
It just becomes a superficial sound in the background.
Yeah.
And they're not engaged. So when you have a message of a song that you want to get out there, does it frustrate you that people are not receiving it that way, or it's just their journey will come when they need to hear it?
I think 1 and 2, both correct. Most especially is that recently, the lyric direction that we're taking is something that might be present in your subconscious, something that you might have heard from cinema some years ago, but this time it's in vernac and it's twisted a little bit here and there, and just brings a little bit of nostalgia into it, you know. And it's really hard to ignore the lyrics when it's like that. Just like our recent single that just dropped, Monating. People were already singing to it at Friends of Black Motion, and they were already singing the lyrics with Bucks on our live performance. So if the message really resonates with the people, they will get it and they will want to know the lyrics word for word. Just like Gypsy Woman. Because I live the life, I know the lyrics, and I know it's about a homeless woman.
Yes.
Who never leaves her space without any makeup.
Yes.
Yeah. Also,
she's with never without makeup.
Also with ABBA, that Gimme Gimme.
A Man After Midnight. It's actually a very lonely song. Also, Super Trooper.
Yes.
So Super Trooper, that is a light. You know that spotlight that they shine on the stage? What Super Trooper is. And actually, the song is a very sad song because she's tired of touring. She doesn't want to be on the stage anymore. She just wants to be at home with her family. And everyone thinks, it's a party song.
Yeah, because the mood of the song.
But it's actually a very sad, deep song.
It's so crazy.
It's very interesting.
It's interesting. It should be a topic, full topic. Like this.
Yes.
And just break down all the songs. Yeah.
There's so many songs.
Yeah.
That's the new material now.
Yeah.
Okay, so good segue. Tabo, you're going to have time to think. Cabello, I know it will be different every time I ask you this question because there are millions of them. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite, top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 artists on your way home now, who would those artists be?
First, Black Motion. Second, there's Tugzin. God's Window, Part 1. That's my favorite currently. Well, there's DJ TSPLK and there's Team AD. They just sent me some nice stuff. And, of course, Aquatone, the first one. It's got some fire songs for me.
That's
what I'm jamming to when I go home.
Yeah, I think that's a difficult one. Black Motion, definitely. Fela Kuti, Prom Child.
Definitely.
Like the problem child, like the catalog is crazy. Eric Prydz, I love Eric Prydz.
Dope.
Bonobo, he even got me some Bonobo vinyl, collection as a gift, on my birthday. So yeah, man, that's my list of in the car. Like,
right now.
Yeah.
And I know if I had to ask you this question now, you'd have another 5. So that's why I love this. It's not favorites. It can never be favorites.
For the moment.
It's in this moment. Yeah. I'm listening to this and this.
Sure.
I speak to a lot of people, again, as I referenced earlier, who listen to music. They go to concerts every now and then. They don't necessarily buy physical. They may know who sing their songs. And I said to a group of 10 people and then a group of 8 people, I was doing a focus groups just for fun. I said to them, if an artist has had 100 million streams, how much money do you think they've got in their back pocket? The first group of people said 50 million. The second group of people said 1 million. Now, these are all educated, cross-culture, cross-diverse people.
We wish.
And I said, actually, no, it's more like 500 rand, 1,000 rand.
Yeah.
And they were shocked.
Yes.
They couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Do you think or feel there needs to be more of an education piece for the general public to understand the nuances of what's going on?
More than the education, I feel there needs to be more honesty from the top of where this thing is coming from, actually. Because right now, we're in the music, but we don't know who's selling the music. We don't know how the music is being sold. We're just going with the flow of whatever is being said in the world. If people glorify a certain platform, we all go to a certain platform in hopes of making a better something there. But like now, with streaming, there's no law. You can't exactly see where it's going, but like, you know, there's streams and you just have to believe in the numbers, because that's where the industry is at right now. And I think for me, it's partly sad, and it's a bit confusing, because you have 100 million streams and you have 100 million followers, and you throw a concert and there's like only 20 people at your concert, which clearly says there's something wrong with the balance of everything. So yeah, man, with the streaming and physical, I think we really rooting for the physical to come back full circle. And
definitely
with this album, the Monating single, we were in the talks of pressing it on vinyl with limited copies of the album. So yeah, man, it's that with streaming and physical, but we more for the physical sales of whatever is happening right now in the world, because streaming is a bit difficult to make your money. As much as you think you have 100 million streamers, that's basically nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cabello, your reference album, the gigs coming up, the Friends of Black Motion, what else is coming up over the next period of time?
Just the same that you've mentioned.
Okay.
Over and over again.
Over and over again.
Over and over again.
Okay.
Yes. And more gigs, of course, hopefully.
Yeah.
No, there will be.
Yes. Yeah. And
put it out there.
Yeah.
You know. More celebration of the days, because nominated for the Summer Session.
Oh yeah, that's a big one.
Okay, first nomination.
Woof. No, like first nomination. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. First nominations since the matured Black Motion and solid Black Motion. Yeah.
First nomination.
Yeah.
What category first nomination. Are you nominated?
Yes, four nominations, which is the first. Yeah, the four of like. It's kind, ever since Black Motion was formed, this is the most nominations that we've gotten. It's best engineered, best produced,
best dance, best collabo.
Yeah. From the Cradle of Art album. And yeah, man, we really, really appreciate the love, and we still cannot believe it. I mean, and I will always say this, this is the first time we've gotten so many nominations that we even it was even on the headlines, like, and we were like, what the four times nominations with Thandiswa Mazwai being there with the legend, and heading the summer nominations is already a gift, and already enough for us. And just through those nominations, just clearly shows and just says Black Motion is still doing good, and we are in the music, not controversy, and the work will be recognized, and that's what we wanted. And again, four nominations is really godly, man. It's just something else. Yeah.
It's a big deal to us.
Yeah.
Amazing. Congratulations. Cabello, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
If it's out on vinyl, please support it, and it's definitely going to a good place. Just remember that with vinyl, everything is accounted for.
Mm.
Thank you.
Anything to add?
Don't let your friends listen to bad music.
Always.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.